I'm thankful to be able to hold to the hand of an unchanging God. Need that in the times that we're living in. I'm thankful to be here, thankful for the meeting. The Lord's placed a burden on my heart, and I feel inadequate to know how to bring it out. As has already been said, we need the Lord. So I ask for your prayers to look into His Word here for a while this evening. I'd like to begin in the book of Mark, the 5th chapter. Mark 5 is the story here of the man of the Gadarenes. It says, whenever they were come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. Don't you imagine he had become something of, I don't know, as a legend, the right word, something I can imagine the children of the town talking about in hushed tones, the horror of possibly coming upon this man. This man had a problem. This man had a problem that nobody knew how to fix or take care of. They recognized that something needed to be done. And they tried what was within their power to help this man. They tried to restrain him, but the restraints didn't work. There was a power that was working within this man that was external to him. Well, it became internal, but it was more than his own strength. It was more than his own mind. Whenever Jesus spoke to him, the voice that responded back was speaking through his mouth. But it was more than this man. I don't believe he was born, by the way, with the name Legion. But he was so called because the spirits within him were many. There was an influence over this man. There was a power that was motivating him in the things that he did that perhaps he didn't fully understand or even entirely want. But he was motivated to do the things that he did by spirit, by a force, by an influence. The scripture talks about in Ephesians, the 2nd chapter, it talks about the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. And the idea behind that is this is something more than what you see with your eyes. There's something more at work here than the symptoms we see expressing themselves in society. What would make a man get into an SUV and decide to ram his vehicle into a crowd of folks celebrating Christmas? And yet the list goes on and on and on of things that you'd have to look at and say, that's nonsensical. It doesn't add up. But I don't understand why you'd want to do that. There's a deceptiveness of sin, of this prince of the power of the air that works through suggestions and influences, and yet all the while under the guise of this being your own individuality. This is your own expression of yourself. And yet the movement we see in our world is one that is motivated by the prince of the power of the air. The things that we see happening around us are from the influence from the pits of hell. There is an influence in this world. There is a power. Think about the time that Jesus was finally being taken into under arrest. Wasn't the first time that they had tried to do that. But the scriptures prior to that say that it was not his time. His hour had not yet come, and so they weren't able to apprehend him. But the time came now, and he was apprehended, and he asked of them something to this effect. Where were you when I was in the temple? I haven't done all these things in secret. I've been right before you and open, and the things that I've spoken, he said, which of these miracles do you take me for? It didn't make sense. Why are you going to arrest a man that just raised someone from the dead? Say, we're going to have a waiting list for you here. We could use somebody like you in our midst. For which of these miracles do you persecute me? Yeah, they were taking him into captivity. Jesus, looking on him, said, this is your hour. And the power of darkness. There's a power to darkness. There's a power and an influence at work in our world today. But that's not my burden tonight. I want us to see that and realize that as the backdrop to what I'd like to consider this evening. You see, that wasn't the end of Legion's story. He cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. Well, we'll skip through some of this. We'll remember that they besought Jesus, the spirits, that they might be cast into the swine, and they, through the swine, performed what they intended and desire for every one of us. To stop at nothing short of total destruction. That's why they sought and accomplished in the swine. But this man, Legion, was delivered from the bondage that he was under. It says in the 15th verse, they came to Jesus to see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion, sitting and clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine, they sought him to leave the coast. But I think about this deliverance of this man. Remember, this wasn't the first attempt at reform or restraint of controlling this man that had never worked before. But whenever he encountered Jesus, there was something different. He encountered a force before he ever met Jesus that was greater than he was. It doesn't start that way, but when you start playing with the things of the devil, folks, it's stronger than any of us are. The wages of it are more controlling and invasive than what we bargained for. But the scripture says of Jesus that a stronger than the strong man is come. And Jesus broke the power that he was under of that bondage. You read a little further down here, this man sitting and clothed and in his right mind. Now he asked Jesus, can I go with you? And I can imagine his heart's desire. I know what I was in those tombs. I don't want you to leave. This is the first time in many years that I've had peace of mind. But we sing a song that says, mighty to save and mighty to keep. Grace like the ocean, boundless and deep. Because that spirit of that's working in the air about us in this world is not the only influence. Life for us to consider tonight, a gift that the Lord has made available to every one of us. Grace like an ocean, boundless and deep. This man found a power that was greater than the power of the enemy. You know, I still believe today in miracles. I believe that we still serve a God that works through divine influence. In our intellectual age, I believe there's an effort to rationalize the things that we read in the Bible. Surely it couldn't have been so in the book of Genesis. There's got to be a natural explanation here. Well, maybe the miracles that we read about, maybe there was a natural explanation for those. We serve a supernatural God. He's not bound by the laws of His nature that He created. And I believe there's something available for us tonight that is more than natural. That's more than our own work or our own ability or our own restraints or willpower that we need to be able to tap into. It is the divine influence from above. The power of God that we are able to harness by the means of the grace of God working in our lives. That story where Jesus was saying, "This is your hour," and the power of darkness. These are dark scenes that we look at. And yet there was a power that overcame those stories. There is a power that even that the darkest hour perhaps of mankind, as the Son of God hung upon a cross, was turned to the most wonderful glory there could have been. Thank the Lord that there is one who is stronger than the prince of this world. The Scripture says, "Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world." And we can look around at the world. I don't believe we're called to just stick our head in the sand. As we heard this morning, positive thinking isn't just about oblivion. It is a realistic view of who God is. And to realize that though the world around us is dark, we can look at the future and fear for my children and grandchildren. If this is what it is now, and it's come so far downhill in such a short amount of time, what's it going to be whenever you look forward a ways? But there is something that is unchanging, and that is the grace of God. The grace of God will be available for us as long as time stands. And that grace is a divine influence that's available for us to be able to tap into and harness in our lives, that we can have something within us that's greater than all the force and power of darkness around us. Folks, we're coming at this from a position of strength. We don't need to be bowed or cowed down. We don't need to be fearful of what tomorrow holds. We don't need to be doubtful and unbelieving of whether or not I'll be able to keep the victory. We don't need to let past failures taint our view of what God is able to do. If there is a failure, the failure is not of the grace of God. The failure is on my part. I'd like to look at Romans, the 5th chapter. Romans 5 and 21 says that as sin hath reigned unto death. One above that. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Christ our Lord. Where sin abounded, the grace of God was ahead of it. The grace of God even more abounded wherever sin abounded. You know, it just tells me of anything in our age today, there is even more of an opportunity for us to see the mighty hand of God Because His Word says that the grace of God is greater than the power of this world. So as the darkness gets greater and more encompassing, the force of wickedness seems stronger, the grace of God still abounds. Where sin abounded, the grace of God so much more. I believe that the Lord is able still to save to the uttermost. Again, I don't believe this is just a natural influence. I don't believe that salvation is an experience that can just be obtained by mankind of their own strengths. I believe it's independent of how great somebody's willpower is, or resolve, or good works. There is a divine influence from above that enables us to do and be what we can't. That enables us to conquer things about ourselves that we could not. It's only by the grace of God. The grace of God is often confused, as Paul addressed here. Well, let's just continue in sin that grace may abound then. No, God forbid. You don't understand what grace is. Grace isn't a blank check of forgiveness into the future. Grace is the power and again divine influence in the heart and life of a person to be able to conquer and overcome and rise above those things. I believe that it was divine influence and intervention of God that parted the Red Sea. I believe that those lions in the lion den didn't just suddenly develop an illness that took away their appetite. I believe in a divine influence of God that intervened in the day-to-day life of His people and His children that were trusting in Him. And on the examples of those that God stepped in and intervened on their behalf. And I believe that God is still intervening, that the grace of God is still available for us today. Book of Titus, the second chapter. Titus 2 and 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. I believe that the Word of God is still relevant. I don't believe it has an expiration date on it. So I believe this present time, this present world, is the world that we're in today. That the grace of God still teaches us. And I want us to realize that this teaching is not about an imparting of head knowledge. It's not about telling us that we ought not to do such and such. That's what the letter of the law did. But we're no longer under the law, but we're under grace, where the grace of God is available to divinely influence our day-to-day lives. So this teaching is not about having a head knowledge of what I ought to do. But it's about it working in my life to help me to overcome, to teach me how I ought to live in this present world. That grace that has been so misunderstood. The power of God. Some people say that it is the power to be able to jabber in an unknown tongue. Some people say that it is the power to be able to pick up and handle venomous serpents without losing your life. The grace of God is so much more than that. It's so much greater than that. What mankind looks for so often in religion is something on the outside. It's something outward. It's something flashy or showy. But this grace of God is something that is an influence within the heart that does something, I think, so much greater than any of that. that helps me to overcome my biggest enemy, Clint. That gives me the ability to rise above things that have plagued me over and over and over. The grace of God teaches us. It shows us how. It makes it possible for us. I've thought about... Well, we'll get there in a minute. I'd like to look at Proverbs, the 16th chapter. What is this grace of God for? Proverbs 16 and the 32nd verse. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. You know, the grace of God is to help us to rule our spirit. The grace of God is to help us to overcome those things about me. The grace of God, I believe, is sufficient and able to help us to overcome generational or hereditary faults or weaknesses or things that are just, it's just the way I am. This is just what I've always struggled with or what I've always fallen to and failed to. Over and over, it just is. It's who I am. It's, I guess, the way I'm going to have to be. I believe in a God who still intervenes today. I believe in a God who still has power to overcome the influences of the devil in our life. You can know that this prince of the power of the air is trying to exert his influence in our lives. But thank the Lord for a greater influence, for a greater power that's available unto every one of us. It does no good to have a form of religion and not be able to rule my own spirit. James said in James 1 and 26, if any man among you seem to be religious, but bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth in his own heart, this man's religion is vain. It's not worth anything. It's empty. There's no real value to it. Well, maybe there's some value in abstaining from outwardly some of the things that people might look on and see, but there's a power and a value to salvation that we can sell so cheaply and settle for something so far below what God has for us. You know, the standards of the Bible, the standards of the Word of God, which are by extension the standards of the Church of God, are not obtainable in our own strength, in our own ability. If our standards are something that our flesh does not struggle with, then we probably have the standards too low. Or we're not attaining unto the standard of the Word of God. But it's by the grace of God that we're able to be or do anything. It is only by the grace of God that our salvation will be worth its weight. The Scripture says of the last days that there would be those who assume a form of godliness but deny the power of it. Thank the Lord that there is a power to salvation. There is a power in being harnessed and yoked to this great and powerful God of heaven by the grace that He's made available unto us. Thought about it this way. Crude analogy, but you can have an automobile, have a V8, however many horsepower you want in the engine. But you know, if you don't have a way of harnessing that and translating that power to the wheels and to the road, it's really not worth a whole lot. The purpose of a car, I think, is to be able to get you from point A to point B. So it really doesn't matter what the pipes sound like if you don't have a transmission. If you don't have a drivetrain that is able to harness the horsepower and is able to translate that to the wheels so that you actually get some traction, it doesn't matter how it sounds, it doesn't matter how well the engine runs, and in our experience, it won't matter how well we can talk, it won't matter how together I have it in, before people, unless I have something that's able to engage the power of God in my everyday life. It's not worth a whole lot. It's something for the showroom but I'm not interested in that. I want something that's going to work for me. And the grace of God, folks, it works. I believe Paul said in one place, according to the grace that worketh in us. The Lord has a grace that is not some theoretical idea. The Lord has a relationship and an experience for every one of us where we live in His favor and in obedience to His Word, where we can tap into a source of strength and of grace that enables us to live a life that's pleasing unto Him. It makes it valuable. I remember talking to a man, a brother, been through quite a bit. If I remember right, at that time he had a loss in his family. His house had burned down. I remember talking to him and he was telling me it gets tough sometimes. But he said, you know, I found that the grace of God is just, it's kind of like when I get stuck and I'm just spinning and I can't get anywhere. That I can engage four-wheel drive and suddenly there's something that kicks in that's able to pull me up out of the place that I'm in. Folks, we need that. We need to be tapped into a source of power and strength that's able to pull us out of those places of quagmire or those places that we would tend to get bogged down in our own selves. And be in the same place spinning year after year after year. We need the grace of God. It doesn't matter how well we can speak about it. It doesn't matter who our family was or how long we've been coming to these services. What matters is that I have a connection with God that gives me access to His grace working in my life every day. Whether you are around or whether you are not. Whether the parents are watching or whether they aren't. I need access to something whenever temptation comes my way that is stronger than that force. The scripture says in the Old Testament, whenever the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. There is a force and a power of the working of God, and the way that it is expressed in our lives is through the grace of God that will lift up a standard against the enemy. That will give us a shield that will protect us. And again, if there is a failure, I believe Paul said in one place also, lest any of you should fail of the grace of God. You see, if there's a failure, and I hope you'll still have confidence in me. I'll have to say there have been times that I've had to look back and say, Lord, Your grace could have done better than that. It wasn't a failure of the grace of God. It was a failure of me utilizing it, of availing myself of the grace of God that was available unto me. Lord, help us to tap into that. None of us are above this. None of us are exempt, no matter how strong we might feel we are today. You know that's one of the ploys of the devil, by the way? Get you to feel like everything's going pretty well. And just about time you start to just take a breather, relax a little bit. Then all of a sudden, wham! Where did that come from? Why didn't I have more on hand than that? We need the grace of God, not just in camp meeting. We need the grace of God whenever we're upside down and it seems like things, the world is rolling right over us. We need the grace of God just as much whenever it feels like everything's going my way and going just right. I pray tonight the Lord will help us to have an appreciation of how desperate we are for the grace of God. It'll make the difference for us. The difference between a life of defeat and failure, mediocrity, and a life of victory that I believe the Lord has for every one of us. I'd like to look at lesson the Lord taught Paul, found in 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. Second Corinthians 12 and 7. Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me. Lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me, because that's what I need. And the sooner we can realize, Lord, I am weak, I am helpless, I am hopeless without your grace. Lord, without your help, I don't have this. I can't do this. It's the difference between without me, you can do nothing. Through Christ, I can do all things. The difference of engaging the grace of God in our lives. His grace is sufficient. The Lord is faithful. And the enemy wants, I believe, to try to get us sometimes into a place where I struggle to grasp it. I can know it in my mind. But perhaps failures or struggles or the reality that I have found contained in my mind whether I can actually get a hold of this. The grace of God is sufficient. Lord, help us to be able to get a hold of and realize and know that the grace of God is sufficient for whatever place in life we find ourselves in. Whatever the Lord brings us to, there will have been grace available to us to be able to rise above that and live victorious. Paul also said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. Paul realized, despite what people said about him and the way that the Lord used him, he realized, I don't have anything. I count all these things but dung. It's only by the grace of God. It's only by His influence, by His mercy and His work, that I'm anything. Grace is not just an emergency kill switch. What I mean by that, if we can use the example of Joseph. I know Joseph wasn't under the dispensation of grace, but grace is the divine enabling power of God. The divine intervention of God in somebody's life. Joseph availed himself of the grace and the help of God at the right time. But you know, it could have been that he could have entertained, the scripture says, make no provision for the flesh. If you feed a lion, expect a lion to keep coming back to your door. If you continue down your own way and down your own path, hoping at some point, whenever I'm almost to the point of despair or almost to the point where I don't want to get to, I'm going to hit the emergency kill switch and say, Lord, give me grace. It doesn't exactly work that way. We've got to avail ourselves of the grace of God. We have to live in a place where we are under the shadow of His grace and His protection. James, the fourth chapter. James 4 and verse 5. Do you think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy, but He giveth more grace. How much grace does He have? Grace as an ocean, boundless and free. His grace is free as the air we breathe, another song says. We may each have how much? We may each have a full supply of the grace of God. He giveth more grace. Tonight, has the transmission been slipping? Have we been able to avail ourselves? Has the grace of God been manifesting itself in the way I talk to my family? In the way I conduct myself behind closed doors? In the way I mold or don't mold to peer pressure around me? Have I been engaging the grace of God to the wills, so to speak? Has it been manifesting itself in living a godly and righteous life? The Lord has more grace. Wherever we are, the Lord giveth more grace. Wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. And I'd say that's another message in and of itself. But there is a place that we can be where we can avail ourselves of the grace of God. And there is a way that I can live in my own strength and headstrong and barreling right into trouble and not even knowing it. And the grace of God suddenly, where is it? I haven't been living under its influence. Just as there was an influence over Legion. Folks, there needs to be an influence over our lives. Hebrews, the 10th chapter, it talks about doing despite unto the Spirit of grace. You know, the Holy Spirit administers grace in our life. We need the Holy Spirit. We need His indwelling to be able to live this life, to be able to overcome and be victorious. Let us not do despite unto the Spirit of grace. Let us not fail of the grace of God that He has available for us. If we find that we've not had the grace that we need, that I found myself in this cycle where the tires are spinning and I'm not getting anywhere, or the engine's revving and the tires aren't rotating. You know, a good thing to do is humble ourselves before God. Because He giveth more grace to the humble. There's something about the proud in spirit. I've got this. No, I'll be okay. I won't do that again. I'm not going there again. Folks, there's something more than our own willpower. There's something more than our own determination. I can remember times an altar call when I was younger. No, I know I've got a need. No, I don't want to. I know, I'll tell you what, I'm not going to. This thing that you're dealing with me about, again, I'm going to work real hard at that. I'm not going to do that again. I'm going to be real careful here. But there is a place that I wasn't quite able or willing to get to just pour it out before the Lord and say, Lord, I don't have what I need. Lord, I need help by whatever means You have to give it to me. I am desperate for the grace of God. Desperate to go to heaven. And the Lord has the grace to equip us to get there. No matter what might come in our lives. The Scripture says that He is He is able to make all grace abound towards you. You know, there is an abundance of grace that the Lord has for us if we'll avail ourselves of it. That we don't have to live an experience that's just barely getting by. That's just in survival mode. If you must be in survival mode, survive. But there's a place of a spiritual wealth and depth and abundance that the Lord has for us. Through the grace of God, He is able to make His grace abound towards us. Ephesians, the third chapter, says He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you can ask or think, according to the power that worketh in you. There is a power, there is a grace that needs to be working in our lives that is the conduit, that is the vehicle that the Lord uses to give us the power, to give us the strength and the grace to be able to overcome. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. If we're approaching grace as the emergency kill switch, and I think somehow by muttering these magic words, I resist you, Satan. That's not it. It's not in that combination of words. You remember some fellows that thought one time they were going to go do what they saw the apostles doing? We're going to cast out some spirits here. I adjure thee by this Jesus that Paul preaches. It didn't work. It wasn't in having the right combination of words. It wasn't in having a form that looked like a copycat image of somebody else, trying to imitate someone else, or trying to hold it all together in saying the words, I resist you. It's about more than that. It's about having myself in a place that I am under the umbrella of God's protection, under the umbrella of His grace, that I haven't removed myself from that, that I haven't strayed outside of a place where His blessing and His grace can flow, where suddenly I'm on my own. We need the grace of God tonight. And thank the Lord, He has an abundant grace for us. Through that abundant grace, we are able to have, as Jesus spoke about, I have come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. Tonight, wherever we are, however victorious we've been in our lives, the Lord has grace for you. Don't allow the enemy to make you doubt or question whether this thing actually works. If you look at it and conclude it hasn't worked for me, the Lord may have to be the one to convince you of it. But it works. It's not a failure in the grace of God. It's available for every one of us. But if we fail to tap into it, none of us are able to stand. Stand therefore. Be strong in the power of His might. You pray for me. Amen.